Turn our hearts and minds to the Lord in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. And we thank you, Lord, for the guidance it gives us in times of trial and tribulation and trouble and hardship. We pray, Heavenly Father, that in this time, with your holy word before us, you would guide us and you would speak. Lord, you may use these lips of clay to speak what you would have us to hear. And disregard my notes, Lord. Tell us what you want to have us hear. May it be for your honor, may it be for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In that passage that Lucas read, I find it powerful to think about the disciples being put in that situation where they were being put in front of the Sanhedrin not only once but twice. It also happens in Acts chapter 5. And put on the line by religious leaders of their day and age as to, now, we told you, stop preaching that Jesus. And they went out and did it again anyway. Eventually, each and every one of the apostles, except for John, would give their lives because of that gospel and be willing to obey what God said rather than men. During the 30 days of prayer that we spent in April as a congregation, March. As a congregation, we've been praying about direction, what direction God might be giving us as a congregation on several things. And in the listening process, three things came to the top in that listening process. Those three themes were, one, unity. The congregation needs to be unified in its purpose. Second, humility. The congregation needs to work together in humility. And the third was obedience. The congregation needs to be seeking the Lord's face and to be in His Word. And of course, you know Don, he likes to do things backwards. From my standpoint, if we don't have obedience, we won't be humble. If we don't have humility, there's no unity. And so I'm preaching this backwards. It's sort of a Don thing, I think. But when I look at this passage that Lucas shared, and I think of the one that comes after it, and I think of the apostles' willingness to live their lives and preach this gospel in a hostile atmosphere, to me that's the height of obedience. I don't know what it's like in your life, but I know what it's like in mine. It is really easy, even when we feel the call of God on our hearts, to yield to what everybody else is doing. If I did that, Lord, what would people think? That calling upon our lives, often we will push off. It's even reflected by the elders in the Sanhedrin at that time, called the Gamaliel Principle. Well, if this is good, if it's of God, it'll last. If it's not of God, it's not going to last. What I wonder is, how do we, if we would actually hear God speak, would we do it? If we actually got a word very clearly from God, would we follow through? That's the obedience piece. I would like for you to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And the reason I want you to go there is because there's a whole list of dudes who were obedient. These are individuals, and believe it or not, they put their tunic on the same way we do. Well, okay, they had tunics, we have breeches, but they're human beings just like us. I think sometimes we raise these individuals so high that we forget that they're just like us. And they are just like us. We go down through here and we see Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. And why is that? By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. By faith he still speaks, even though he's dead. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Hey, he offered sacrifice. He got mentioned in Hebrews 11. That's pretty cool. He obeyed God. And then we got Enoch. You know, all Enoch did was please God. The backstory is, if you go back in the Bible and figure out when he lived and was the father of Methuselah. And if you check out the dates, he was taken by the Lord without death because he pleased God. And it was right before the flood. Right before the flood. Noah. Can you imagine being old Noah and being asked by God to build a boat when there hadn't ever been a boat built before? And not only to build a boat, but you built it up on dry land in the middle of things. Can you imagine what the neighbors said? I mean, sometimes we wonder if we put roses out in the wrong place if somebody's going to say something in our neighborhood. Think about putting a big old boat. I mean, a huge boat. If you've ever seen the Ark that's down in Kentucky, it was no little barge. It's huge. I imagine it got the neighbor's attention. But Noah did it. Took him 100 years to build it, but he did it. And you think of Abraham. Abraham's in here 1, 2, 3 times. Abraham was enabled to become, was called to go to another land. Can you imagine what his wife said when he came home with that word that night? Hey, Sarah, we're moving! And Sarah said, huh? And away they went. He obeyed God. She laughed later on when all of a sudden he was said, well, you're going to be a daddy. And Sarah laughed. Nah, it ain't going to happen. And it did. And then he was the father who was willing to go so far as to sacrifice his son. Can you imagine that? Obeying God to the point that you're willing to put your son on the altar on top of that wood as if you're going to sacrifice him. Knowing that's such faith in God that you're willing to say, okay, God, this is my only chance at a family. And you're asking me to give him up. But my faith in you is so intense that I will obey it to the letter, even this. And God saw his heart, and he honored the sacrifice. You go down through here and you see Isaac blessed his sons, Jacob blessed his grandsons. In that day and age, that didn't seem that important, but in those terms they were. Joseph was told ahead of time about the Exodus, and he shared about it. Moses' parents hid him. Can you imagine in the midst of Egypt where they were trying to make sure that all the male boys were being killed in that first year because they were population control? And his parents willingly hid him to make sure that he would live through that crisis. The people in the Exodus walking through the Red Sea. I mean, we don't know what it's like to have walls of water on both sides as you walk through on dry land. It's always talking about these people of faith who work in obedience. Each situation, they had faith in God. They did what God asked them, even if it was costly, even if it was embarrassing, and even if it was against conventional wisdom. Each one of these were listed simply because they had faith enough to do what God had asked them. That's why they're on the list. And I wonder, are we really looking to do what God asks? I mean, all these young people are probably asking questions, what the future is going to be? What's the future going to be? What should I be investing myself in for my whole livelihood? I mean, that's what I did when I was a kid. You're not asking questions. Okay. But I know that when I was a teenager and a young adult, I was asking those questions, Lord, what do you want me to do for my life? The whole thing. Should I go to college? Shouldn't I go to college? Should I be studying this? Should I be studying that? And I was investing in those things, those questions. Well, Lord, what do you want me to do? Not knowing that in that third year of college, God would shift gears on me dramatically. And I was willing to do His will. How are we really looking for what God asks? How are we investing in listening to His voice? Are we ready to obey what He asks us to do? Even if it might cost us a great deal? Even if it might be embarrassing? The neighbors might find out? Even if my friends might not ever understand why I'm doing what I'm doing? And when we come together as a congregation, that not only has individual ramifications, but it has corporate ramifications. We can ask the questions as individuals and say, okay, this is what it's going to cost. This is what I'm willing to do, Lord. I'm willing to lay my life in front of You to do whatever You ask me. But when we come together as a people of faith, we ask that as a group. That means it's no longer just about me. And it's no longer just about you. But it means that we as a people yield ourselves before Almighty God to obey what He asks us to do. This morning I lay this down, Hebrews chapter 11, as a way of saying, and the apostles from Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5 as saying, you know what? Our greatest investment as God's people is listening to what He's calling us to do. I believe that parable about the mustard seed is very important to us as a people of faith, because it means that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, things can happen. And I see a lot of mustard seeds. But what are we going to do together? What is God calling us to as a congregation, as a people? My challenge to you this morning is to really look at the question, what am I willing to do if God calls me to do it? Am I willing to obey? Because each and every one of us has to answer that as individuals for us to come together and answer that as a church. If we don't entertain the one question, we can't get to the other one. If we're not moving as individuals of faith in obedience to Almighty God, we can't come together corporately and move together as a congregation by faith in obedience to Almighty God. It doesn't work. It's like three wheels on a car. It drags a little bit on one corner. It just doesn't work. And we also need to do that carefully. We need to be obedient to God's Word. I was working on a project in the shop. And it was a brake canister. And yeah, you're not all mechanics. That's all right. God loves you anyway. But these are special brake canisters, and they're very dangerous because they have one huge spring in them. But it costs $1,200 a piece. $1,200 a piece. And of course, it got a hold of Don's creative side. And so last winter, I took one apart. I had no instructions at all. Took that booger apart. And as I started, I had something that was releasing the spring nice and slow. And as it released, all of a sudden, boom, and that thing went across the shop. This last week, I rebuilt the other one. The difference was, this time I had the instructions from Bendix laid out in front of me, and I followed them by the letter. And just a little air from my compressor on one spot alleviated all that big boom and flying across the shop business. In the midst of our obedience, we need to be guided by God's holy word. I know so many times we feel like individuals who are following Jesus that we're out there alone without anything to guide us. That we feel like teenagers, boy, there's all these questions, I have no place to get answers. We feel like young adults and parents, oh, this getting life started and relationships started, oh my, there's just no, this is a good guide. And then when we start to get gray hair, we don't know exactly now, what does this grandfatherhood, motherhood all look like? There are examples in here of godly grandparents. What I'm saying in the midst of this is, God is wanting to get our attention. Now, maybe it'll take a spring flying across the shop to get your attention to look at the instructions. But I hope not. I hope as people of faith that when we look at issues of faith and obedience, we look first to God's word of individuals who have been in the same circumstances we are. How did it do? There in this book are examples of where it really worked good and where it didn't work good at all. And we can learn from the mistakes of others and the celebrations and victories of others. We need to get in the mindset that we as individuals obeying in this day and age what God has called us to do are setting the example and the trajectory of people of faith in the next generations. And that doesn't make a difference whether we're a teenager or a young adult or we've been recently married or we started a family or whether our family has grown up and we've got all our kids in college now or we got grandkids in college now or great-grandkids in college now. It doesn't matter. There's somebody been there before. And there's someone of that example in the Bible. Our walk is not alone. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. 544 in the Blue Hymnal. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey.